Thank you for joining us for our second lesson on the end of the Sabbath. Matthew 28 and verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn upon toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And we read you in Luke chapter 23, the last verse of chapter 23 and the first verses of chapter 24, which gives you really the insight into it. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. They had been following him in his ministry as he preached. They'd follow along with him. And you'll find if you'll study with the scriptures that these women were those who often took care of the Lord Jesus Christ, that took care of his meals and so forth and watched over him. So they keep on doing that after he's dead, and they beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments. They went back home and prepared their spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Couldn't do anything. They had a dead Jesus under the commandment, under the Sabbath laws. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was over and done with. There was nothing else the old economy could do concerning God. God was no longer a dead body. Their spices and the things that they had prepared, those things were not required anymore. They were under the law. And now it says on the first day of the week. So we begin to see that. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 how that though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth, since redemption has been accomplished, know we him no more. And we read in the 20th chapter of the book of John how that Mary did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, thought he was the gardener. And we referred to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, how that these two believers, one of them named Cleophas, his wife was at the cross, devout men. But they were so caught up with the politics of religion, they were going the wrong way. Jesus told them to tarry at Jerusalem, not them. They were going for some rest and relaxation. Peter said, I go a-fishing. I'm going back to doing what I was doing. This is so disappointing. I thought we were going to be able to enter into the glorious kingdom again like David and Solomon had, and now he's dead. Wasn't expecting this. And so they're going for some rest and relaxation on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes and begins to walk with them, and they don't know who he is. Because henceforth know we him no more. Dear soul, we can't depend on the Renaissance painters, those artists that depicted Christ. We've been told from the very beginning of our Bible, don't make any images of God. Get it out of your head. Get it out of your Bible. Get it out of your churches. Don't believe in that sort of thing. You're going to have to know Christ by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. And so we see that these two on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know him except by the breaking of bread. They didn't know him by appearance. Mary didn't know him by appearance. She thought he was the gardener. How did she come to know him? By him calling her name. How did they come to know him? By him breaking of bread. Let me read you some verses that you probably have not thought about maybe for a long time. Maybe you've never ever even read them or considered them. Mark chapter 16 in verse number 12. It starts off with after that. After what? The verse number 1 of Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. As the sun begins to rise on this different day upon earth, The law has been fulfilled. Everything has been completed. Everything's over and done. Jesus said, it is finished. I have accomplished everything God gave me to do. That's what he said in his prayer in John 17. I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do, my Father. Now I'm coming to you. And so here in this 16th chapter of the book of Mark, when the Sabbath day was passed, and then in verse number 12 of Mark 16, we read this. After that, he appeared in, watch it, another form, another shape, another nature, figuratively. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. What's that referring to? It's referring to that which we were talking about in Luke chapter 24 of the two on the road to Emmaus. Jesus, now that the Sabbath day is past, and very early on the first day of the week, the first day of the new kingdom, the first day of the kingdom of God, the first day after the sacrifice has been completed, the day after the new day, the new dawning of the new era, when the temple veil has been split, and when the law has been fulfilled and completed, and Jesus has done everything, and it fulfilled him to, it satisfied him to fulfill all righteousness. He's done all of that. And after that, Mark 16:12, after that, he appeared in another form. He appeared in another shape. He appeared figuratively in another nature, in so much that these two men did not know him, except when he broke bread at the end of the day. And when he began to break bread, they recognized him by what he did. Dear soul, we need to make sure we get back to God. We may have been going a long day's journey throughout our whole religious life, practicing religion, going to church, putting on our best clothes and going to church on Sunday, putting our money in the plate, and studying our Bibles and reading and praying and all of these kind of things, and yet not really realizing that we don't know God. Brother Gene, why do you talk like that? Because I spent 7 years lost as a baptized church member. I had full privileges of all church members in that church, but I was lost and without God. I went through the motions, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I didn't know that I didn't know. And dear soul, that you can't believe that there's not people like that among us today. Listen at this. Maybe this will shock you. Maybe this will shake you up. Maybe this will cause you to say, listen, I need to get back to God and deal with God and quit dealing with, you know, the form of godliness, going through the motions. Yeah, having good fun and fellowship with other church members. But wait a minute. They're not the ones that's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end of the age. And they're not going to be the one that say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You're going to have to deal with that person. Get back to Christ and know that he said, that it says of him that henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet know we him no more. Yet henceforth know we him no more. That's what the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 5:16. And here in Mark 16 and verse 12, after that, after the day of the dawning of the new age, the new kingdom, the new covenant, the new contract, the fulfilled and completed redemption, there's never been a day like that on earth. For thousands of years, they had a hope, they had a promise. God said it's going to happen. But now it has happened. At the end of the Sabbath, no more Sabbaths. At the beginning of the first day of the week, After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. What does that mean? Well, Luke 24 says they went back to the upper room where the 11, and it wasn't just mean 10 plus 1. It meant the phrase that they call Christ's disciples, the 11, the 12. These are the men that followed Jesus. They went back and told them. They went back and told it to the residue. Listen, neither believed they them. Dear soul, I wonder, do you believe me? I'm coming to tell you the same thing these men told the apostles. They themselves, these two men, were deceived. They were blinded, just like Mary. She didn't know who he was, but she was not seeking anybody but him. She was serious about him. She had pounds and pounds of spikenard, and ointments and so forth for him, but it was for his dead body. Dear soul, you need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's yet near. Come and see the Lord and seek him while he may be found. Now, let me read you something while we're in Mark. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 27. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 27. The Bible says in Mark 2:27, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Do you understand what that means? That means religion had proposed to me and had purported that I was made for the Sabbath. That you got to do this and you got to not do that on the Sabbath. Jesus said, you got that thing backwards. He said, the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was brought into existence for man's benefit, for him to rest, for him to come to a place of quiet, peaceful repose, to quit so that he could quit laboring to enter in and would be able to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath was made for man. Religion said, no, man's made for the Sabbath. Thou shalt not. The Bible said this was the end of the Sabbath. It's over and done with. Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews chapter number 4, beginning with verse 4. "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from his works, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing then, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter in therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." They weren't able to enter into the rest because they didn't believe God. Yes, they were Israelites. Yes, they were involved in the traditions of Israel. Yes, their donkey stayed in the shed on the Sabbath day, on Saturday. Yes, they followed along in the traditions. But they didn't enter into the rest of the Messiah, of believing in him. Listen. Again, this is Hebrews 4:7. "Again, he limited a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Today, this is the day you need to come to Christ. Not thinking about, well, I'll obey the Sabbath laws. No, right now, today, Harden not your hearts. And there's a mistranslation in verse number 8 of Hebrews chapter 4. It says Jesus, which is the same Greek word for the word Joshua in the Hebrew. It says in the King James, for if Jesus had given them rest, it should have said, for if Joshua had given them rest, if it was just that Joshua was leading them into the promised land, if Joshua had given them this spiritual rest that the writer is talking about, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? It's not just entering into the program of religion and the tradition of a Sabbath rest. He says in verse 9, listen, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He's talking about a spiritual rest. He's talking about what Jesus said that we read you in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That kind of rest, spiritual rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest to your souls. It's not talking about just rest to your body in the promised land, that on Saturday we don't work. When the sun goes down on the last day before the Sabbath, we stop. And all next day we don't work. But you can still go to hell like that. It's not just tradition. It's talking about coming to believe in the Lord, coming to have faith in the Lord, coming to put your trust in Him. Submit yourself unto Him. Submit yourself unto the mighty hand of God. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. It's a coming to a spiritual rest in Christ for salvation. You can be the finest little moral religionist in the whole world and die and go to hell. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And I will say unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Wait a minute. What kind of work of iniquity was it? They walked into the church with Bibles in their hands. The little daughter and son had clean faces and nice clean clothes, and mama had scrubbed them up good, and daddy had, had drove them to church in that nice automobile, and everybody was fine. Yeah, but was they saved? So he said, there remaineth a rest, a spiritual rest. And that word rest is one we get our word Sabbath from in that Mark 2:28. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. If you have entered into the spiritual Sabbath of trusting by faith in Jesus Christ, you have ceased to work to try to get saved. Cease to work and cease to have works righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. So he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? Let us labor that we might enter into that rest. You do everything you can. Strive to enter in, Jesus said. Come unto me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's things that you can do that you may enter into that rest. Labor, therefore, to enter into that spiritual rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's what we need to get to, the difference between our soulishness. Well, I felt good, and I thought that was a wonderful service we had. And the preacher was so eloquent, and that soloist hit that high note, it just put chills up and down my spine. You go to hell like that. And he's not talking about your soulishness. He's talking about your spiritual man. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what this preacher's trying to tell you today. Listen. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul from the spirit and to the joints from the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, dear soul. He gives us understanding that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Come to Christ, not to religion. Come to Christ, not to traditional religious practice. Come to Him. Let me read you some verses. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now, this is talking to Christians, so-called believers, the professed Christians. These are those of the Galatian church, and the Apostle Paul was talking to them, and they were disturbing him. Listen, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? What are the weak and beggarly elements? Going back to the practice of the law. And the Lord had delivered the church from the practice of Sabbatarianism and had set them at liberty. And they were seeing that it was on the first day of the week. It was on the, quote, Lord's Day, unquote. And they were coming out of all that. But in the fourth century, Constantine, I believe it was, came and said that we're going to have to start using Sunday like the Israelites used Saturday. And he started calling that Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day. It wasn't. And then the Pope got in on it. Next thing you know, here we are, us Baptist, say, man is made for the Sabbath. We got to do what the Sabbath said. Jesus said, no, the Sabbath was made for man. You got to learn to rest in the Lord, not by works of righteousness which we have done. How many times do I need to quote that? So we understand and see that he says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 9, he says, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire to be again in bondage? Now what's the next verse say? What are some of the weak and beggarly elements of the law that he saw them turning back to? Verse 10 of Galatians 4. Ye observe days and months and times and years. You are going back to observing Sabbaths. You're going back to these old Jewish customs. And what does he say in verse 11? I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'm afraid of you, the apostle said. It's not just a pastor or some missionary or some evangelist. This is an apostle, had direct revelation. When he preached, churches sprung up. He went to places where nobody else had ever preached, and he set forth the gospel, and he saw it work. And they came out of the religious world and the pagan world, and they set up their churches. And here was this church at Galatia, and he said, but now you're just going right back to what you used to be and calling it Christian. And what was the bondage and the beggarly elements and the bondage that he mentions that they turn back to? Observing days. And so I'm afraid of you. Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 14. He says, well, we'll have to read verse 13 to get the full sentence. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he made alive, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How did he do that? He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He took the handwriting of ordinances, all the thou shalt and thou shalt nots of the law, and nailed it to his cross. And he said, I'm going to take care of that for you. I'm going to fulfill and complete the law for you. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So let no man therefore judge you in food or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. God took care of all that. What did he do with all that law? What did he do with the thou shalt that put you under bondage and you said, but I couldn't, I didn't. What did he do with thou shalt not, but you say, but I did. I fell into sin, I did it. What did he do with all that? The law made us understand we were sinners. What did he do with it? He nailed it to his cross. And he took it out of the way. So, now that you are a Christian, now that you have come to be accepted in the Beloved, now that you have come to be able to stand before God in complete righteousness and in utter acceptance by God Almighty, and he looks at you and sees you as a completed saint of God, perfect in every way because the blood of the Lamb of God has washed you. Excuse me. He said, therefore, let no man judge you in food. Well, we can't eat that. Why? Because we want to eat kosher. The apostle said, everything's good if you receive it with thanksgiving. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't want to eat no possum. There was a group of folks down in Mississippi that wanted me to come down there, and they said, we've been hunting and all this season, and we've got a lot of wild stuff, wild game prepared. And want you to come preach to him, we're going to eat all kind of stuff. And somehow or another, it didn't work out, and I couldn't go. And I thought, if I'd have went, I'd have had to eat that because I'd had to receive it with thanksgiving. Wasn't nothing I wanted to eat. It wasn't on my menu. But anyhow, I was not to be judged in what I did or did not eat. And it says, and let no man judge you in drink or in respect to a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, plural, which are a shadow of things to come, but the tangibility, the reality, the body of it is Christ. All those things may be in religion, and some man may be, as we said in, what was it, Romans 14 and verse number 5, if I can find it real quick, Romans 14 and verse number 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm not to lord over God's heritage. Be not many masters. Don't be trying to tell everybody what they should do. And don't you let anybody judge and rule over your conscience and tell you what you are to do and what you can't do. You follow the Lord. And dear soul, listen. He said, be careful. The holy days and the new moons and don't eat this and don't drink that and all that kind of stuff that was under the law, that was but a shadow. The law, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1, has a shadow of things to come and not the very image of those things. The very image of those things, the reality of everything is Christ. That's what he's telling them. So there was the end of the Sabbath. Thank God for that. No man could keep the law. By the law is condemnation. Not regeneration. The law tells me that I need Christ. the law at Mount Sinai tells me that I can't do what I need to do to be accepted by God. It drives me to Mount Calvary, where Jesus did do what I needed to do and on my behalf. And so in Christ now, I am accepted. And it's the end of the Sabbath. I don't need to go through all that rigmarole anymore. In fact, nobody that did go through all of it ever kept it completely and ever kept it right to begin with. It wasn't designed for that. Let me read you what Jesus said when he came into the world. What was on the mind of the incarnate, eternal Son of God when he stepped into that womb of the Virgin Mary? Listen, Hebrews 10, verse 5. Verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, here's what was on his mind, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. I come to displace all of this sacrifice and offerings. All the thousands and literal millions of animals that have been slain did not take away one sin, and none of it pleased God, except in that obedience in them being told to do this in order to get ready to receive the Lamb of God when John the Baptist would stand and say that. Behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. Sin of the world. John 1:29, I think it is. It was to get us ready for Christ. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I'm going to fulfill God's will. I'm going to fulfill the law. It behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness, he told John the Baptist, and he did. And he told the Father in his prayer in John 17, I have kept that which you gave me to do, and I have not lost anybody. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, Father, thou hast had no pleasure. Jesus Christ said that the Father didn't have any pleasure in sacrifice and offerings. And he said, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, everything in the Bible says this. It is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Hebrews 10:9. Then said he, behold, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the end of the Sabbath. He taketh away the first covenant, the law. And it says that he may establish the second. What does it mean to establish something? It means he sets it up. He's not going to change it. It's not going to be moved. It's the way that it is, and it's going to take care of everything. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he said, I'm going to handle this thing about the law. The law was not given to make men justified. The law justified not a single soul. It just said, you need justifying. But it left us all undone and realizing that we were undone. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 tells you what the law did to him and how it made him a sinner. Made him realize that he was a sinner. It didn't make him a sinner. He already was a sinner. It just made him know he was a sinner. And so he says, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first covenant, the law, and establishes the second. And that's when we read in Matthew 28 in verse number 1, which is our text, the end of the Sabbath, beginning of the first day of the week. They came and found an empty tomb. There was no body. It had not to do with a sacrificial body. There wasn't a dead goat or a dead lamb or a dead bullock or a dead pigeon or anything. And especially there wasn't a dead Jesus. He had already done it. And he cried out that victorious cry as listed in John 19:30 from the cross. It is finished. He let the devil know, it is finished. He let all Christians know, it is finished. He let all the sinners know, it is finished. But most of all, he let his Father know, "It is finished. I come to do thy will, O God." So he took away the first covenant, the end of the Sabbath, that I might establish the second, the covenant of grace. And it began the first day of the week. Thank God, good. God is so good to us. My word. Luke 17. Is this what I want to read you? Let's see. Yes. Luke 17, 22. We read you that verse and we keep on repeating it in 2 Corinthians 5, 16. "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more." And it was proved because Mary thought he was the gardener and the two on the road of Emmaus didn't know who he was. And they did not know him by sight. They saw him. They heard him talk. They faced him. "You must be the gardener. Art thou but a stranger in Jerusalem and knowest not these things?" She came to know him by him as the shepherd calling her name. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." They came to know him by the breaking of bread. "This is my body which is broken for you." In the revelation of who he was in his broken body, they came to know him. Isn't that something? And now in Luke 17 and verse number 22, "And he said unto the disciples, the days will come," you need to listen to this, "the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man." Mary, you're going to be down at the graveyard and you're going to be wanting to see the day of the Son of Man. "Tell me where you've laid him and I will take him." They said, "We thought it was going to be, he's going to be the Messiah." Jesus was mighty in miracles and in preaching. But this is the third day and we ain't seen nothing out of it. There's going to be a day when you desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. But guess how this verse ends? "And ye shall not see it." Ye shall not see it. "And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them." I don't care who tells you that Messiah is here in his flesh. It ain't going to happen. He said, you will have a desire to see the day of the Son of Man, but you shall not see it. Go to Luke 22. Luke 22. And verse number 37. This will knock your socks off. Luke 22:37. "For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me." What? "And he was reckoned among the transgressors." Now, read with me that last phrase in Luke 22:37. "And the things concerning me have an end." Scratch your head. Contemplate. Meditate. Wonder what that means. Do whatever you need to do and make sure you give that last phrase in Luke 22:37 some time and some meditation and ask Jesus about it. "The things of me have an end." What does that mean? "There'll be a day when you shall seek the day of the Son of Man like I am on this earth." Mary, you're going to look for me and you're not even going to be able to have any appreciation for two angels because you're looking for the wrong Jesus. You're going to look at me and call me a gardener, a common laborer. You're just the one that takes care of the flowers and all that stuff around here. And you two on the road to Emmaus, you're going in the wrong direction. The shepherd had to go and find the lost sheep and bring them back to Jerusalem where he told them to stay to start with. And they had to go back to Jerusalem and tell everybody, we saw him. We know him. It's Jesus. They didn't believe him. And he said, I want you to know, that day when you seek for me as a common everyday human being, you're not going to have it. Because the things concerning me have an end. Isn't that something? Dear soul, you need to make sure you understand what's going on here. You may better make sure that those pictures in your Bible, you need to either take scissors and cut them out and burn them, or else go get you a new Bible. But worse than that, those pictures the religion has put in your head about Jesus, you need to get rid of them. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into obedience every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't know Jesus by sight. You don't know Jesus by picture. The Bible started off in the very first part of it saying, don't make any images of God. But what did we do? Make images of God. I went to a Roman Catholic church, I guess that's what they call them, with my uncle way back yonder when I was a teenager, way back yonder. Excuse me. And I was curious. I got down on my knees when they did. I got up when they got up. I did everything they did. And then when we got out of the service, whatever you call it, I asked my uncle, why do y'all have all these statues around the wall? And I'll never forget what he told me. He's dead now, been gone for many years. He said, it helps us to be able to worship God. And God said, you better remember that. I was lost as a snake. It was years before I even become a lost church member, much less before I ever become a true born-again believer. But I've never forgot it. And God said, you don't come to Jesus with teaching aids, with visual aids. You come to Jesus by the Holy Ghost. You've got the greatest gift that God has ever given upon earth, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the Holy Spirit. He shall take of mine, Jesus said, and show it unto you, and all things that the Father hath are mine. I have everything the Father has, and I'm going to give everything that I got from the Father to him, and he's going to what? Show it unto you. You need to go through your heart right now. You need to go through your mind right now. Notwithstanding the pictures in your Bible, you need to go through your mind and your heart right now and get rid of all the concepts of Jesus that religion has brought for you. And you need to understand that you wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. The rest that God has for you is for you, and the devil's got you laboring on it. And God said, this is the end of the Sabbath. When? The first day of the week, when they sought for Jesus and couldn't find him because he wasn't a dead body anymore. It was over and done with. This is now the new and living way. In Hebrews 10:19, this is the second covenant which is established by the Lord Jesus Christ that we read you in Hebrews 10, verses 9 and 10. This is the end of the Sabbath and the beginning of the new day, the Lord's day. And dear soul, you need to rejoice and thank God for the liberty and the freedom. And remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians. I'm worried about y'all. Remember what he said to Corinthians. Colossian church, listen. I'm afraid of you. Why? Because ye observe days. Well, Brother Gene, what am I supposed to do? We go to church on Sunday. Good. Keep on doing it. Remember that Romans 14, verse 5. You need to read that over and over. One man says this is the day. The other man says all days are alike. I don't know why my throat is so dry for drinking all this water. But dear friend, where you need to get it settled is not by the debating society in your church. Is before the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He said that you need to seek the Lord and call upon him. Matthew 6:33, what does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added to you. That's what it says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and seek ye first God's righteousness, and these things shall be added. All this stuff will work out. God hit me with this early in my Christian experience. There was a young man that he and his wife and us, we loved them and we appreciated them, and we came to know them, and we knew them when they got married and so forth. And then the young man got saved, and they wanted us to come over one Sunday afternoon and just visit with them. So we were glad to do it. We drove over to their house. And lo and behold, when I pulled up, there he was out there with a hose pipe and a bucket and soap and a rag washing his car. And here comes old legalistic Sabbatarian me. And God helped me and he to lock my mouth and not condemn that brother. That man was a blood-bought child of God, but there he was doing what I thought was sinful. Washing his car on Sunday. Do you know the first thing that brother said to me when I got out of my car? Isn't God good to give us such a wonderful day, such a beautiful day that I can wash my car? He said, I'm just praising the Lord and thanking God. And I thought, I need to keep my mouth shut. I ain't going to mess with that. Romans 14:5. Let me read it to you again. Romans 14 and verse 5, if I can get there. I ought to put a marker there if I keep going back to it. One man esteemeth one day above another. That was me. Another esteemeth every day of alive alike. That was that brother. Let me read that again. Another esteemeth every day alike. What do you do about that? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I had to rethink my position. Why couldn't I rejoice in what he was rejoicing in? Because I was so legal. And I was made for the Sabbath. And he was looking at it like the Sabbath's made for me. You say, well, this will mess up all of our religion. Well, good. You want your religion to stay intact and all of you go to hell? Or had you rather be able to say Rabboni, Master, when you recognize that Jesus ain't your gardener? Hadn't you rather have your hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Rather than us criticize him and say, you're just a stranger in Jerusalem. You don't know these things like we know them. You better be careful. The Bible said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. and remember Mark 16:12. And after that, he appeared in another shape, in another nature, in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Is that one that you're calling Jesus, is he really God's Jesus? Or is he just your imagination of Jesus that you have formed by going to church? I fell into that. I'm so glad God didn't let me die while I was a lost church member for 7 years. But I am so glad that God let me be a lost church member for 7 years so that I could come outside this thing and see myself as I really was. And I'm thankful to God today that he has brought me to Christ. Not to my idea of Christ, not to the Baptist idea of Christ, not to your idea of Christ, but to God's revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Ain't God good? God bless you. I pray God would use this message mightily in your heart and the hearts of others that you might direct towards this and see the things of the Lord, because we are in the last days, dear soul, and we need to get ourselves right, because we're going to soon be in the presence of Almighty God. Amen.